Sorry. Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Ruth W. from San Diego.
Hello, everyone. I am Ruth, and I am an alcoholic. Woo! This is intimidating. I got sober on September 27th, 2005. And my home group is the Gifts of Grace closed women's meeting on Friday night. I do love that meeting, and I do love the women that are their treasure to me. Okay, so what it was like. I'm from New York. I'm from where there's cows, upstate New York, and it's really beautiful, really close to Vermont. And I was born into a family of Jehovah's Witnesses. And therefore, I learned to read the Bible immediately and read it like four times in my lifetime, way too many times, if you ask me. But so I already had this notion, this feeling of being different and of not being enough ever. And For me, that being a Jehovah's Witness just helped separate me more from other people, especially when I wanted so much to be accepted and loved, and which was just not going to happen in school, in the predominantly Protestant Catholic town that I was in. Woo! And they didn't like us. Just them. I don't know about everybody. Anyway. So that was an experience, and what happened was I started to lead this double life, and I started to get really, really good at manipulation, at deceit, at stealing, and doing all of the things that the J-Dubs said not to do. Seriously. All of them. You know, there's a list. It's really long, and I did them. And unfortunately, I thought that that was going to bring me some sort of, like, ease and comfort and, you know, and it didn't. And but I continuously tried to use other things, including people and, you know, drinking, to fill that feeling inside me that just I was always never enough and always different and never a part of. So what happened was I started to drink because that's what you do, right? Especially when you live in the middle of nowhere and you have nothing else to do but steal booze, or, you know, marijuana was prevalent. It was easier to get than alcohol. And but I started to, you know, steal alcohol from, like, the little corner store and, you know, do fun stuff with my friends, and I was an avid sneak out girl, you know. I would sneak out almost every night. I would wait until like 2 in the morning, and then I would go, and it was great. Good times. And my parents eventually found out. They put an alarm system on the house to keep me in. It's true. Thanks, parents. And So anyway, what happens with the double life usually, and this is the fear of anyone that has a double life, is that you get found out. And that happened with cops coming to my parents' door, you know, it was good times. Still in mind, I was only 12. And started early, you know. So what happened was, you know, I was exposed, and then I was like, well, I do not want to be a Jehovah's Witness. Now you know. It's clear. But I just started to, I got a boyfriend, and I was like 20 and he was older, and we started drinking on a regular basis, and it was great. I enjoyed it. It was just like, this is what being adult's about, and who cares about, you know, any goals or aspirations? I just want to drink. I also joined the army in there because I flunked out of school, you know, good stuff. I was a winner. And I really felt like a winner, too, in my mind. No, I did not. So I went to college. I did the whole drinking thing there. And I thought, you know, this is what you do when you're young, is you binge drink until you can't remember anything. And then, you know, this is just part of it. It's just part of it. So I got married to Mr. Right. Mr. Right after 4 months. He was a Marine. And the great thing about him is that I came to California. Thank you. And he, that ended. And part of that is, you know, the spiral down. Oh, thank you. The spiral started to happen, like, a lot faster after that. It was, like, just another failure in my life, just another echo to all the things inside my head, the fears that I would never be enough, and that, you know, I just, thank you, and that I just was never going to be what I wanted to be, who I wanted to be. And that was, like, you know, filled up, and the husband wasn't going to do it, and I was just trying with the alcohol. And I started to drink a lot more, and I was a wife, which is weird for me. I was always like a worker, you know, so I was like a wife, and I was drinking during the daytime, and, you know, house cleaning, drinking, and, yeah, I got a lot done, no, and then things, obviously, we didn't know each other, it was not fun, he was mean, and he went back to Iraq, and I started to drink heavily without the presence of him because I could. It was like, woohoo, the party is on, and I have so much money now. It's his. It's going to be a great time, and it was a great time, and things were not good between us, and I knew that I wanted a divorce, and I was definitely already seeking companionship elsewhere. Good times. I've never cheated on someone in sobriety, which is kind of awesome. It's really cool. 6.5 years or something of no cheating. Whoa. So it got to a point where I was drinking so much, and I there was wreckage starting to happen, and I knew that I wanted to stop drinking. And I couldn't. I would tell my friends, I'm never going to do this again. You know, the hangover would be so bad. And then once I felt a little bit better, maybe 5 o'clock, I would just start again. And if I took a drink, it was on. I didn't know if it was going to be one drink or if it was going to be, you know, a lot of drinks. And I tried all of those, the self-deception, and I didn't want it to be true that I might be, you know, might have a problem with alcohol. And I got to a point where I had created enough wreckage and I was broken and, like, just heartbroken and spiritually broken inside, that I finally came to a point where I said the prayer. I said, please help me. And I put down that beer. It was at the Tower Bar, I think. And PBR. You know, because I'm classy, and this voice came into my head, like, okay, maybe just don't drink today, and that happened a lot more, and I came into these rooms, and I was more interested in, you know, him, and, like, fixing someone else other than looking at myself and taking the steps. Fortunately, someone asked me to be her sponsor, and I had only taken the first 3 steps. And I was like, sponsor, can I do this? Because I got one of those. They do say that for a reason. You should find a sponsor, someone you could work with and talk to and tell the truth to, because if I didn't have that, I would be lost. Thank you. So what happened is I did get that sponsor, and I did start to take the steps, and I also got that sponsee, and that sponsee having her encourage me to actually finish that fourth step, which is this giant, terrible thing. And I did that, and I did those steps ahead of her so that I could take her through them. And, you know, she stayed sober for 3 years, and I stay sober. Like, that's what happens. And for me, so sponsorship changed my life. It changed my sobriety, the quality of my sobriety. I can't tell you enough, like, how much it pisses me off, people who have some sobriety, and they don't help anyone. What are you doing here? Please, this was so freely given to you, give it to someone else. And that's what I do. And I try to take the women that that I'm lucky enough are attracted to me and come to me and ask me for help. I'm lucky enough to help them in a way that, like, I can take all that garbage and all my crappy life experience and turn it into something good that can help someone else. And that's what the steps did, is they cleared the path between me and God. And that's why I'm sober. It's the connection I have with God, with my higher power, which for me is it's a higher self concept. So I'm good. All right. Thank you.